The Merovingian military. This is the Frankish military of both the Merovingians, which is the first dynasty, and then a little bit of the changes that were then made in the Carolingian times. Now, the early Frankish army had some cavalry, but basically it uses it mostly to do two things. One is support. They'll use some of the cavalry to support the fighting in various battles, but for the most part they use it as transportation. And literally, the army rides to the battlefield, then dismounts and fights in infantry formations, which is really kind of unusual. Now, at Clovis's time, most of the fighting was done with infantry. This is from 476 to 511. And it's just strange to think of the Franks riding to the battlefield on a horse and then, you know, getting off, putting the horses away, lining up, and then fighting on foot. Of course, it does allow you to move your infantry a lot faster, but that's a lot of horses that you're going to need to be using. There was some use of cavalry for attacking purposes. The question is, did they have the stirrup at this particular time? And some historians believe it's a little bit later before that they incorporate it, which is probably one of the reasons why they decided to continue fighting as basically infantry, because it was easier to stay on the horse. You know, the only way you can hold yourself on is to grip it with your legs, and that takes quite a bit of practice. I mean, the Huns were very good at doing it, but the Huns also used stirrups. By 732, which is the time of Charles Martel, or Charles the Hammer, the Franks were still using cavalry for transportation and as support for the infantry. But the Merovingian infantry is significantly different than we usually think of early barbarian or early civilized barbarian troops, and that is they were extremely well-disciplined. I mean, this isn't where you're going to have a mob of people and they're going to fight until one side thinks that they're losing and then they'll run away. They have a significant amount of discipline to stand their position against various attacks. Example of this is the battles of Tours-Poitiers in 732, which of course is the time that the Muslim invaders from Spain came into the southwest part of France and then moved up heading north towards Tours, the great pilgrimage site. And of course, Charles Martel then leads the Frankish army with a lot of practically everybody they get their hands on to protect the holy pilgrimage site. Of course, the Muslims had begun to withdraw by that time, and so they will hit them further south, about 90 miles south of Tours at Poitiers. Now, their opponents, which are led by Aben al-Rahman al-Ghaffah, had a Muslim army, which is a combined arms army. That is, it has cavalry and infantry, but they both are used equally in the fighting. As a matter of fact, the Muslim technique at this time was to attack with cavalry charges, with the infantry behind the cavalry to, you know, exploit anything or any holes that may have been made in the enemy line by their cavalry charges. So, you know, that's a pretty good situation. Now, the one thing you have to be careful of is that the Muslim cavalry are not very heavy horse. Obviously, they're going to be Andalusian, Spanish horses, and you're also going to have North African, Arabian horses. They're not going to be as large as you're going to find possibly the Franks having, which would be Belgian draft horses and some other things, kind of larger horses that you find the knights using in the Middle Ages. But the idea of the Muslim attack is to weaken their enemy and then let the infantry mop up. But Martel's army was able to hold out against every charge over and over and over again. And that takes a lot of discipline for these early medieval forces to stand ground against a charging enemy. Muslims are just frustrated. They charge several times until finally the general is killed, at which point the Muslim forces then withdrew in the middle of the night, and Charles Martel has his great victory, which will help to allow him to to make everybody feel like, you know, that Martel's family should probably be ruling France, and will eventually lead to the Carolingians and later on. Now, in addition to the Muslim use of cavalry, their cavalry was lightly armored, and as I said, were on regular horses. But even, you know, even at that, it takes a lot of trust in your leader. You've got to have cause motivation. Of course, this army believed they were defending the pilgrimage sites at Tours, but they have to have discipline prior to showing up. You just can't take a few people and say, well, now you're going to stand there while they charge us. It takes training and bravery to stand against that. Now, later then, soon after the Battle of Tours, Poitiers, Martel then reorganizes the Frankish army. He's going to use more heavy cavalry. In other words, they're going to start incorporating the use of heavy cavalry in the attack plan. And they're also going to train the cavalry on how to attack. So they've trained the infantry on how to defend and maneuver. Now they're going to do the same thing with the cavalry. Now this military reorganization then will continue into the Carolingian era. Now the issue you have with cavalry is feeding them, which is why you're pretty much leaving October through February out as being unsuitable for fighting, because it's difficult to find forage or to carry fodder with you for the animals to eat, at least in large numbers. I mean, there's food and things in the local regions, but that's just for the local horses. You bring in another 10,000 horses and you'll eat everything up pretty quickly. So the best time to fight would be March to May. Now, you notice that that would be March 1 month, April 1 month, and May 1 month. It's about 90 days. And, of course, you have in the early use of troops, you have a 60 to 90 day window in which to use troops, because the Merovingian kings and even Charlemagne are not going to have 60, 50, 40,000 troops in their possession all during the year. They're going to have the household guard and the few thousand bodyguards of the king and others, and then they can call on the counts and various nobles to provide 60 to 90 days worth of troop usage. So you're going to bring all of them together. You better use them for the right circumstances. Now, another change that takes place too under Martel is the change the way the tribute to the king is collected. The old Saxon tribute was actually payment in cattle. That payment is going to be changed from paying the king in cattle to paying them in horses, which shows the rise of the value of an attack horse, an attack force within the Frankish army. Now, as to why he did this, now there's several opinions here. Now, obviously, the first one is that Martel was impressed by the Muslim cavalry tactics and thought they could be successfully used by the Franks. The other one is the widespread adoption of the stirrup. Now, this comes in around 600 to 700 AD. The early 8th century, you would have the early 700s, that the Franks will also change their weapons. And they'll change them from, the infantry weapons will change from battle axes and barbed spears to long swords. And then the cavalry will then carry longer lances, which are called wing spears. And then, of course, he might have just decided to make the change without any outside influence. There are historians that don't support the idea of the use of the stirrup, because they don't find them in grave goods. In other words, when you excavate a large Frankish burial, you don't find stirrups and things like that in that particular area. So they're looking for archaeological evidence, and they don't find that. Now, the idea is supported by a gentleman named Lynn White Jr., who wrote in 1962 a book called Medieval Technology and Social Change. But we always have this group of people who want hard evidence. I think that sometimes you ask a little much. The Franks, in a few cases, such as in Childeric the First, you do find a horse burial with him. But it's the head of his horse, that's bejeweled and put in the tomb with him. They didn't put the accoutrements that would have been on the horse. It's something you would find in the steppe region. You would find the Scythians doing that. You might find the Huns doing that. You might find some other groups, but it's very unusual to find it in those areas. And you know, to ask that everything that you want to see a piece of has to be found in a burial or is a little nutty. I mean, for example, I'll give you the ultimate version of this. For years, we have known through Greek accounts that there's a naval battle at Salamis, that there's naval combat. There's the Battle of Actium under the time of Augustus. But, you know, we've never found, well, they hadn't found for years what any of those warships looked like. So you have all these kind of odd drawings until in the 70s or 80s, they found a couple of ships off the coast of, I believe it's Lebanon, or in Turkey, somewhere along in there, but they found their battering rams. They had an idea of what the ship might look like, but the issue was what the ram looked like. And once they found that, they were able to plug some things in. But to operate under the same philosophy, you'd say, well, they really didn't do any of that ship combat because, oh, we've never found any of the ships. Well, of course we knew they had combat, and of course they knew they rammed people. Just because we didn't have them didn't mean that they didn't exist. There's some things that the Normans used that we used the Bayeux Tapestry because it has some illustrations on it. So, you know, I think the stirrup issue is certainly important because if you're going to be on a big horse, you're going to be on a Belgian draft horse, and you're trying to control it by hanging on to it with just holding on to it with your legs, it's not going to happen. But when you see the change in the infantry equipment from the battle axes and things to long swords and then these long lances, obviously some technology has come into a system. Now, other innovations found in the Frankish army, which occurred during the Carolingian era, this time of Charlemagne, about 890 you have the invention of the nailed horseshoe. So this allows you to have the horse travel farther. They can go at faster speeds. They can cover any terrain. But it's more effective in the drier climate because in the wetter areas of the Frankish kingdom and in Europe, the softer ground would soften the hooves and you'd get quicker wear on the horses, on the horseshoe. In addition, in about the 12th century, which would be the 1100s, you have the saddle with a high pommel on it. The old saddle was nothing more than a horse blanket with some cushions underneath it, which gave you very little lateral stability. You could stand on your stirrups, but it would still be a little slippery, okay? But then when you have the pommel, you have something to hold on to. It does protect your groin region as well as keeping you from, you know, falling over the head of the horse if it stops too quickly. So those are some little things about what the Frankish armies look like. And I think that in comparison to their opponents, a little bit more experience, a little bit more discipline than we normally give them credit for, and extremely well led. Mayor of the palace, and of course Charlemagne, you know, you have Charles Martel, and then you have Pepin, and then Charlemagne. So that's a little background over the military of the Merovingians and the Carolingians. Now, as far as sources of this, Medieval Technology and Social Change by Lynn White, Jr., Fighting Techniques of the Medieval World by Bennett, Bradbury, DeVries et al., and others. There are like five other people on this. The Merovingian Kingdoms, 450 to 751 by Wood, The Long-Haired Kings by Wallace Hadrill, and that's his last name, it's a hyphenated word, and The History of Gaul by Funk Brentano. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, and thank you very much.